Titus chapter 3, and let's read from verse 4, just a little portion here. When the kindness of God, our Saviour, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is much that can be said and has been said and no doubt will be said by all sorts of people about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I just want to pick up on one thing that is mentioned here in verse 5, where at the end of the scripture here, the end of the verse here, it speaks about the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Actually, there are two things there, but I'm only going to pick up on the second. The washing of regeneration, that of course speaks of the new birth, being born again. And as we are born again, there is a washing, there is a cleansing. I mean, this is just marvellous, isn't it? That when the Lord takes his Spirit and puts his Holy Spirit in us, he says, I will cleanse you from all your sins. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. 1 John chapter 2, some of us were looking at yesterday. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Friends, if we know the Lord, we have been cleansed. We have been washed. Hallelujah. You're all very pleased. Hallelujah. But that's not really what I want to look at. Where do we need to proceed beyond that? It talks here about a renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, some years ago, probably before some of you were born, but never mind, I'm going to tell you anyway, there was the beginnings of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the Church of God right across the land. I say the Church of God, right, it affected all the denominations, really. It was something that was totally new in our day. Having said that, the pouring out of the Spirit has not been new throughout history. Of course, there have been times when God has poured out his Holy Spirit. But round about the sort of the late 60s, early 70s, there was a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in a number of different churches right across the nation. It came to be called, in some circles, at any rate, the renewal movement. And I want to suggest to you, if you've heard that phrase, that you actually call it something different. Because it wasn't the renewal movement. The renewing of the Holy Spirit is not to do with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, vital though that is. When God pours out his Holy Spirit upon a believer, it is for their equipping, it is for their empowering. And it is so that we may be a witness to the Lord Jesus, not just a witness of him or about him, but to him. And this is absolutely vital that we do that. And in that movement, in the 60s and 70s, and subsequently really, a number of people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they came into all that that meant for them. The gifts of the Spirit began to open up. People began to speak in tongues. Monks, vicars, people that you wouldn't have thought would do these things. The Lord met with them. And, you know, some of the rather more staid conservative evangelicals, I suppose I was one of them once, really. Some of you might think I still am, really, but anyway. But they thought, tut, no, the Catholics, some of them, the Catholics even had the blessing. Well, they did. God poured out his Spirit upon many. It seems as though God had no favourites. It was just marvellous. What a thing to do. What a wonderful God we have. And so many came into all that the Lord had for them. I'm not going to talk about what's happened since. Because sad to say, I don't think we've really pressed into what the Lord has for us. But anyway, it came to me known as the renewal movement. It is vital that each one of us as believers knows that empowering, that filling of the Holy Spirit. But the renewing of the Holy Spirit is something different. Why do I say that? Because renewal is not equipping. The word renewal means renewal. It means to make new. It means to make fresh. So the question is, how does the Lord renew us? What does he want to renew? And when? So it's something of that anyway that I want to begin to unpack. Will you notice from this scripture, first of all, it is vital for our... He saved us. I say it's vital for our salvation. I'm not saying that we're not saved without this. No, I'm not saying that. Salvation begins when we're born again. But I would say we don't enter into everything that the Lord has won for us without this renewing of the Holy Spirit. So really what I want to begin to challenge us with is really, as you're sitting here and as I'm speaking, is how much are we knowing this renewing? Or perhaps to put it another way to start off with, is your Christian experience based on something or events or experiences of past years or past months? You know, if our Christian experience is basically based on something that happened years ago, that's lacking. It says here that he saved us according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration. He wants to renew us. There's to be a freshness about our lives. There's to be a freshness about our worship, about our evangelism, about our relationships one with another, about everything in the Christian life. And sure, we need to be filled with the Spirit continually for that, but it's the renewing that's in mind here. So I hope that you're entering into this, and I hope as we go through this, you will be challenged and you'll see how the Lord wants to renew us. So, first of all, we're not going to look at one particular passage. We're going to look at just a few verses in the New Testament. Would you please go to 2 Corinthians, first of all, where we find the basis for renewal. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Some of you can probably quote this from memory, but we're not going to just go from verse 17. We're going to go from verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we do not know him in this way any longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. So in Christ, when we become Christians, we are put in Christ, and there is a sea change, there's a whole lot that becomes new. We become a new creature, a new creation. He then says, the old things have passed away. Behold, everything has already become new. I'm adding those words to emphasize the truth of it. It's not that things need to be made new that were old. It's not trying to make modern or fresh things that were past. No, the old has passed away. Everything has already become new. That is the basis for the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, what has passed away? What is the Apostle Paul talking about? Well, he's talking about our previous relationship to God. Why do I say that? Well, verse 16. Verse 17 begins with a therefore, and forgive the joke for the umpteenth time. When you see a therefore, you've got to go and see what it's there for. Verse 16, and if it was new to you, well, you can laugh. Verse 16, that begins with the therefore, but we're not going to look at that. Therefore, from now on, we recognize nobody according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, we do not regard him in this human way any longer. So what the apostle is saying is that our relationship to God has changed. We had a certain view of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps we regarded him as just a physical human being, or we had a sort of mental picture of him, perhaps particular Christmas time in a particular way, born in a manger, etc. And now we don't regard him like that any longer. Think of what happened to the Apostle John. This one whom he had leant on at the night before he was betrayed. And suddenly, Revelation chapter 1, falling flat on his face, seeing the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and seeing the one who says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The one who's standing in the midst of the whole of the Church of God throughout history. What a difference. He had to have his view completely changed. Now, friends, part of the renewing work of the Holy Spirit is to show you who the Lord really is. He wants to reveal the Lord to you. He wants to reveal the Lord Jesus to you. Our relationship to God is changed. Our relationship to others is changed. Will you notice it says, from this point on, we are not going to regard anybody according to the flesh. Or your version may have, from a human point of view. Now, this is very remarkable, I think, and it's something that I think we don't often think about. If you're a Christian, your relationships to every single person from now on are different, or should be different. So the person who is a Christian, your brother or your sister, who actually you find a bit of a pain, you now are going to regard them differently, because you're going to regard the things that are causing you the pain a bit differently. Even family relationships are different. If your brother or your sister naturally, or your parents naturally, are Christians, when you become a Christian, the relationship is not just a natural one. There's a spiritual relationship too as well. What about the church? How do you regard the church that you're in? As a bunch of rather strange people? How do you regard the worship? Again, we are now to see everything from the Lord's point of view. Now, friends, that takes renewing, I suggest, doesn't it? It really does. So this is the kind of thing that the Lord wants to renew. But would you notice that the basis is that everything has passed away. Now, what are the old things that have passed away? Well, it's the relationship to God, the relationship to others. It's our relationship to ourselves. And I think this is at the heart of this verse, actually. Because really, essentially, what has passed away is the old nature with all its potential to sin. It is not called the old man for nothing. It's old because it is to be old. Because it is old. It's passed away. It's to be passé. The old things are passed away. It's that sinful nature. So, friends, what it's saying is that your sinful nature is crucified with Christ. That has passed away. You do not, therefore, now need to sin. Your relationship to your old nature is different. God has severed you from it. You have been crucified with Christ. And your body is now the Lord's. Not only your relationship to the Lord has changed, your relationship to yourself has changed. You are no longer your own boss. Or you shouldn't be. It's not your decision what happens to your life. It's the Lord's decision. It's the Lord's will. It's the Lord's purpose for you that is the critical thing. Not, frankly, what you want to do. It's not your choice of career. Not your choice of who you should marry. Not your choice of where you should live, who you should live with, whatever. All these things. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, both of which are God's. Do you see now the need for renewal? These things take a bit of renewing and working out. Old things are passed away. And our relationship, therefore, to the past as well is different. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Now that this does not mean, and some have taken it to mean, that everything that has happened in my life up to the point of conversion can be swept under the carpet and it's irrelevant. No, it doesn't mean that. Why? Because there are other scriptures that make perfectly clear that there are consequences sometimes to our actions. You can't escape those consequences. So it doesn't mean that the past doesn't affect the present. It can do. No, but there is to be a new attitude to those things, and that's the critical thing. We can have a new attitude to the past. We can have a new attitude to things that have happened to us. The things that have happened in our past need not determine how we are to become. Yes, there may be consequences. There may be things that we have to work through. But they are not the thing that moulds us. It's the Lord who moulds us, because we are in Christ. And one of the burdens of my own heart to bring to you this morning as I was praying is that I think that some of us are so focused on the past and how the past is affecting us now, that we blame the past, or we come to an attitude of really saying, oh, well, this has happened to me, therefore I'm inevitably, irrevocably going to be like this. Friends, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says if you're in Christ, the old things are passed away, the new has become. You need your mind renewing. You really do. This is why it's so vital that we have our minds renewed. Talking about the mind being renewed, that takes me on to the second scripture, the next scripture, because if we're really thinking, you know, what needs to be renewed, it is really to do with the mind. And if you go to Romans chapter 12, you will find there one of two scriptures that speak about the renewing of the mind. I think this is the more common of the two, or the better known. It says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Why? Because your body is the Lord's. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Will you please notice there's another need for the renewing of the Holy Spirit there, in order to deliver us from being conformed to this world. We need to have the Holy Spirit's renewing in our thinking to do with the world, what constitutes the world, and the dangers that our involvement in our living in the world presents. But it says here that it's our minds that are to be renewed. The other scripture that speaks about this is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. Don't turn to it now, please. We will look at it a little bit later on in another context, I think, if we get there. But it talks about, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I would suggest to you, therefore, that putting those two things together, it emphasizes the need for the Holy Spirit to renew our mind. The word for mind is the word nous in the Greek. It means your intellect, but it means a little bit more than that. So, yes, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us, and spiritual things are spiritually taught and spiritually discerned, not just mentally grasped. But the nous is really the seat of your perception and your understanding. So it's to do with your ability to understand, it's to do with your ability to reflect and to ponder on things and to perceive things. So this is where the renewing is so vital. Now, how does that come about? Well, I would suggest to you that the way that our minds are to be renewed is to do with the Word of God. It's the Word of God that is to be written on our minds and our hearts. Do you remember the terms of the New Covenant? Friends, this is so vital. It's part of the New Covenant. This is what we've come into as believers. The Lord says, I will write my laws in their mind and in their heart, that they may do them. Friends, this is where the renewing of the mind takes place. It's as the Holy Spirit takes His word, will you please notice, it talks in that scripture in Hebrews 8 about his laws. You can't escape the laws of God. All right, the Bible is not just a book of promises, it's a book of laws as well. And the word law, forget the idea of legalism, it's really talking about instruction. The Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. So he wants to take his word and write his word in our hearts, which is to do with our conscience, to do with our emotions, to do with our feeling, to do with our will included. But it's also, he says, I'll write them in your mind. so that you can perceive, so that you can grasp things. At least that's what it is in part anyway here in Romans 12. So the renewing is to take place in our minds. Just to reinforce that, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 reads as follows. From verse 9, do not lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him who created him. You have already put on the new man. The word put on means to have, it's like to have a new suit of clothes. When we become Christians, we have a new outfit, if you like. Put on that new man. This new nature is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So as we allow the Spirit of God to imprint his word upon our hearts and on our minds, there is a renewing in knowledge. And the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has from the Father, he then communicates to us. And then Ephesians chapter 4, I said we'd mention this earlier on. Let's look at it now. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not really very satisfactory to do it mid-sentence, because verse 22 is really important as well, but we need to put off the deeds of the old man. But we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man. So the renewing of the mind is inevitably linked with putting on that new man. But Colossians says we've already put it on. Well, that's true, you have. If you're a Christian, you have a new nature. But that outfit has got to be worn. It mustn't stay in the cupboard. Otherwise it gets mothballed. Or I put it on, wear the jolly thing. So that people can admire your sartorial elegance. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. This is what the Lord wants to impart to you. He wants to make you righteous. His righteousness, which he's given to us in Christ, is now to become our life. This is what's to be seen. Righteousness and true holiness. Get the real thing. Holiness is not just an act that you put on. I once in my stupid spiritual childhood and idiocy thought that holiness was doing this when you sang a hymn. Because that's what I saw the elders of the church doing. How ridiculous. I soon saw the light. But friends, dear, genuine holiness. So please don't get rid of all these fuddy ideas about what holiness is. It means you've got to have a long face or a particular set of clothes or whatever. It's nothing to do with that. It's to do with being set apart for God and separated from sin. In knowledge, to put on these things. The area of our renewal is to be what the scripture talks about, the inner man. 2 Corinthians 14 verse 16 says that the inner man is renewed day by day. Friends, this is to happen every day. Now the word renewing doesn't mean to make novel. We're living in a day, aren't we, when what is new, you know, you get the latest tablet or the latest car or whatever it is, and it lasts for about 6 months, and then you have to get the next latest thing. It's new does not equal novel. New does not equal the latest fashion. New simply means fresh. So when the Lord says, I want to renew you, he says, I want to make something fresh. It may be an old truth, but he wants to make it fresh. Is your Christian experience fresh? Is it for today? Is it up to date? That's really what it's saying. And so often we substitute When we get tired of the old, or it doesn't seem to work anymore, we then think we've got to have the latest thing, or we've got to read the latest Christian book, or we've got to go to a particular place to have the latest Christian experience, or whatever it is. Friends, there's nothing to do with those things. It's simply to do with letting the Lord renew you. I mean, I could be very personal. I mean, yesterday, I mean, I've enjoyed this weekend with the young adults very much indeed. And I sat there listening to the word, and something came to me afresh that I have known for years. It was to do with the fact that my sins are forgiven for His name's sake. And friends, I sat there. I didn't almost burst into tears, but it touched me. The thing was fresh. That's what the Lord wants for you, day by day. Okay, well, if that's something of the burden of it, briefly, how are we to do it? I'm going to suggest to you three ways in which you are to renew your mind. I know I've mentioned one already, but here are three more. Number one, stay your mind. It's the question of what to do with the mind, right? It's our mind that is to be renewed, so how are we to cope with our minds? What are we to do with our thinking? Number one, stay your mind. Isaiah 27, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." Now let me explain to you, that word stay does not mean a sense, it does not mean a state of unruffled rest. It means literally to deposit. Okay? So if you are going shopping, and you come in, I mean, I don't know about this, but apparently so. If you go shopping, the food shopping, and you bring the food back home, you open the front door, and my wife, anyway, is holding all these whatevers, bags, etc. If I'm not around to help, quick, as soon as she can, she deposits those burdens on the surface. Now, that's what staying the mind means. Friends, what is on your mind? How is it to be renewed? I tell you where it very often starts. You need to take those burdens and you need to deposit them on the Lord and leave them with Him. You won't have your mind renewed or your thinking renewed if you hang on to your burden and try and unpack it all and try and work it out and all the rest of it. Just leave it with Him. That's why it goes on to say, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Shalom, shalom, quite literally. Double portion of peace. Complete peace. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Friends, this is a matter of trust. And trusting in the Lord is to do with leaning on him. So it's a very similar idea. So I don't know what mental baggage you're coping with or carrying. I don't know whether there's anything from your past that you're saying, "Oh, well, it's always going to be there." Friends, deposit it on the Lord. Leave it with him. And then do you know what it goes on to say? Well, it says, first of all, you will keep him in perfect peace. Your peace hinges on whether you do this. And in my experience, little though it may be, but I pass it on to you, you do it with an act of the will. It's something you have to do and say, "Lord, I leave this with you because, and I'm going to trust you with it." And then do you know what it goes on to say? It says, "Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord is everlasting strength." Literally, in the Lord, he is your rock of ages. Friends, that's marvellous, isn't it? Do you not think that the rock of ages can cope with your little past? Do you not think that the rock of ages can't cope with what's happened to you? Of course he can. Leave it with him. He'll make sense of it at some point. He will. And what he needs to convey to you, how your attitude to it, he will change as you allow the Lord to renew your mind. But he can't do that if you haven't stayed your mind on the Lord. Stay your mind on the Lord. That's the first thing. Second thing, if you're still in the New Testament, go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. We should take it from. It's very relevant. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your mind, or set your affection, your version may have, on the things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ. Because you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ, therefore, friends, you need to do the second thing, which is not only to stay your mind, but to set it. Set your mind on those things that are above. Now, actually, the word for the mind there is a little bit different from the nous. It literally means to exercise the mind, rather to affect your opinions and your attitudes. So the mind is not just the intellect, it's to do with your attitudes and how you feel about things, how you respond to things. So, for example, in Philippians 2, the Lord says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." And really, let this attitude be in you. There's another area where we need our minds being renewed, isn't it? That we have his mind, his attitude, and therefore that we are able to humble ourselves and be servants, etc. But I digress. So here, it's set your affection, set your mind, set your attitude on those things that are above. And friends, as you do that, the Lord will give you something of his attitude, his mind. Why do I say that? Because in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he says, thank God, we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have a Holy Spirit of love. He's able to love through us. Of power, hallelujah, and of a sound mind. And the Holy Spirit in you is able to give you a sound mind. And this is what he wants to affect. He wants to affect your attitude. That's why in some versions it says a spirit of self-control. It's a funny word to sort of unpack. It means all sorts of things. But it's to do, therefore, also with the way that we behave, the way that we view ourselves. Spirit of a sound mind. Friends, that's the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. Set your mind, therefore, on the things that are above. It's to do with discipline, what you allow to recall to mind, how you control your mind, and what you think on, what you ponder. And that's why pondering on the word, as we were talking about beforehand, is so important. And the third thing, the last thing. I hope these three things are going to be practical, of practical help to you. So stay the mind, set your mind. That's an act of the will. Based on the fact that the Lord has raised you up to be seated with him, you say, Lord, therefore I'm going to set my mind on you and on what you have for my life. And the third thing, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 3, please. I think we will finish with this. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 3. These last three things came to me this morning. So forgive brevity or any lack. Just take the burden of them if it's from the Lord, won't you? Proverbs chapter 7. My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws, the apple of your eye, bind them upon your fingers and write them on the table of your heart or the tablet of your heart. The new covenant is that the Lord will write his word upon our hearts. But here Solomon says, you must make sure you do it. So we're not only to stay the mind and set the mind, we're also to write on our minds. The heart includes the mind here. We're to write on our minds. Practically, friends, it says, bind them upon your fingers. I want to suggest to you, and I have biblical reason for doing that, you can ask me afterwards if you want to, that this is referring at least to Bible memorization. Your minds will be renewed if you commit scripture to memory. The faces drop. I know it's hard. Don't set yourself impossibly high targets, but memorize the scripture. Take a verse, take a phrase, and repeat it to yourself. I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but commit it to memory. And if it takes you a month, it takes you a month. And take every opportunity that presents itself, without putting you under bondage, but if the opportunity is there, repeat it to yourself. Go over it again. I've told you, I think, a few of you, quite a few times, if I have a sleepless night, which thank God isn't often, but if I do, or I wake up in the early hours, I find this is what I'm training myself to do. I go over the verse that I'm learning that week. And you know what? I go to sleep again. Cure for sleeplessness. Memorize the scripture. You have to write it on your... You have to bind it on your fingers. It's to do with how you handle the word. Write it on the table of your heart. The word meditate in the Bible means to speak into. So really, you're not only just to recite it. I'm not talking about mere recitation. I'm talking about speaking the scripture into yourself. Neil yesterday reminded us, he didn't tell us who it was, but I'm going to tell you who it was. Young adults, it was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said this, and it's a very, very wise word. Speak to your soul, or your soul will speak to you. Speak to your mind, speak to your heart. Take the word and speak it into you, otherwise your mind will start to speak to you. And that's where the trouble starts. Otherwise your emotions will start to speak to you. It's part of renewing of the mind. Memorize. Speak into it. Speak into your soul the word. And then stand on the word. And when the assaults come on your mind, of whatever different kind those assaults may be, some obviously demonic, some of them may be just from your own flesh, some from unhelpful people that you know, or meet, or try to be helpful, or whatever. Stand on the word that God has given you. Stand on the word. And that is the way that the Holy Spirit will renew your mind. There's no other way. Well, there are other ways I haven't mentioned, but these are in part the ways. God's way of renewing the mind, God's way of you being renewed, is how to go about it. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the trap of Titus 3, where it says, he saved us not because of works we've done. How many times have you heard somebody say, we've not been saved by works, we're saved by faith? Yes, that's true. But neither are you renewed by works either. So it's not your own effort. It's not the latest method. Whatever it is, it's the Lord. It's the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. That is part of his ministry. May we know it, lay hold of it, and come into the good of it more and more. Shall we pray, please?